Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, the Christian Church. May God's grace and peace be multiplied to you and to everyone who is important to you. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, and it's a spiritual gift given to me by God for your blessing and for your benefit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says this: the Lord Jesus Christ gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. This spiritual gift affords me the privilege of evangelizing to unbelievers by preaching the gospel message of God the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God the Father demonstrates his unconditional love toward all mankind, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Heaven will not be filled with good people. Heaven will be filled with broken yet forgiven sinners. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. The spiritual gift of pastor teacher affords me the privilege of providing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ with a place to hear the Word of God accurately taught so that they might use its truth to handle the circumstances of their lives. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one we gather to worship today, and he is God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 says this: now to the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So this and every Bible lesson gives you a chance to renew your faith in God as the Holy Spirit leads you into all the truth by pouring his enabling power into you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, encourages you to be renewed by God and the spirit of your mind. And so thank you for coming to listen to the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we have the privilege of having a guest singer. He is Brett McKay from New Hope Four Square Church in Salem, Oregon. Aflac! And so let's welcome him. And this first song he's going to be singing is You Are.
Thank you. I'm going to take a second and make sure the mic's working. But June, the secret is you bring your guitar. That way you don't have to worry about Caleb turning on the right song for you. I'm just saying. All right. Brand new day, the sun is rising high above the trees. It looks so good. I tried to breathe, but what I saw, it took my breath away. You heal the blind, you touch the weak, you take my pride, you humble me. I tried to run, I slipped and fell. You picked me up beyond the ground. How can we speak the words to truly show how amazing you are? Please, Lord, capture me. Carry me as I fall. You are the sun, the stars that light up in the sky. You are my friend. You are everything I've ever needed. How can I ever be the same? How can I ever be rising high above the trees? It looks so good. I tried to breathe, and what I saw, it took my breath away. You heal the blind, you touch the weak, you take my pride, you humble me. I tried to run, I slipped and fell. You picked me up, put me on the ground. How can we speak the words to truly show how amazing you are? Please, Lord, capture me, carry me as I fall. Are the sun, the stars that light up in the sky. You are my friend. You are everything I've ever needed. How can I
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to explore the depths of prayer and to take advantage of this marvelous gift that you have given us, to be able to talk to you and to have direct access to you on a moment-by-moment basis. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 1, prayer is having a talk with God. Well, Brett, thank you very much for being a guest singer. We're looking forward to you leading off our next lesson. And I just want to say this, that one of the things that makes your presence so fantastic here is just my vivid imagination about what must have been going on in June's house about 6 o'clock last night, right? Because she was probably, you know, she's ironing her clothes to lay them out for the next day. And she went in that part of the closet where you get out the Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, not her normal stuff that she wears when you're not here, you know what I mean? And she had it all ironed and laid out, I bet. And then she probably got in the mirror and she, me, right? She's probably practicing because I don't know how long it's been since I saw her come out of the box with that much energy on the first song, right? So I think that's what we got to do. We got to get a little, so other people in here, you know, maybe we get 4 or 5 people in here. We have a band up in here. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. And then I can cut my lessons down by about 15 minutes. So I didn't work so hard. No, it was awesome. Awesome to have you down. And thank you very much. I love that. I just love that. It's exciting. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, you were in there too. Yeah, now you, on the other hand, you need a can of Red Bull to go because you started off kind of slow, right? But then you got Chris Tomlin-esque, you know, as you went down the road. Good fingering. It was really good. So I was impressed. Very impressive. I used to play the guitar a long time ago. Yeah. I put it down. I need to pick it back up.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, then we can just have a concert. We had to add a lesson. All right. So we're studying Paul's prayer for the purpose of his ministry. This lesson is prayer is having a talk with God. Prayer is having a talk with God. We're studying Paul's prayer for the purpose of his ministry. In Romans chapter 1, the passage is verses 8 to 15. And specifically, we're looking at the subject of prayer as highlighted in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, which says this: First, I, Paul, thank God the Father in prayer through Jesus Christ's name, his person, for all you believers in Rome, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world, throughout the whole Roman Empire. Stevie Wonder had a great song about prayer. It's called Have a Talk with God, and it's directed to believers in Christ. And it says this: many of us feel we walk alone without a friend, never communicating with the one who lives within, forgetting all about the one who never, ever lets you down. And you can talk to him anytime. He's always around. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. When your load's too much to bear, just go talk to God. He cares. That's what prayer is. And I think people have made prayer much too complicated, much too formal. What is prayer? Prayer is a private talk between you and God. Prayer is a private talk between you and God. And you should be having these private talks between you and God all the time. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you think your life too hard, won't you have a talk with God? So I was glad to hear a baritone up in here. I'm sick of the alto. You know what I'm saying? I was about to break out some bass to help you out, bro.
Amen.
June's an alto. She's guttural. You know, she's a growler. You know, she on I Will in the last one, she was growling a little bit. I will ascend to the heavens. She can get all down, guttered in my arm. See? So that's pretty cool. Next thing you know, we'll have a soprano up in here. We'll have a soprano, an alto, a bass, a baritone. Maybe we'll go get some of those tenors. I always hated the tenors. They always got the cool parts in all the songs. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about prayer. And that's what we're really looking at. You know, we're not looking at what the commentaries say about prayer and what the scholars say about prayer. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say about prayer in the New Testament? And you make a circuit of that and you can see some wonderful things going on in there. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites. And who was he talking about? He was talking about the Matthew chapter 23 people, the Pharisees. The people who like to show off, people who like to be seen. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? A hypocrite is from the Greek word hypokrites, and it means talking from behind a mask. Somebody who talks from behind a mask. In other words, somebody who's two-faced, who does one thing in public and does something quite different in private. The hypocrites. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, the Pharisees, for the Pharisees love to stand and pray in the synagogues and love to stand and pray on the street corners so that they can be seen by men. And truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. See, our prayers are not directed to other men. Our prayers are directed to God. Matthew 6, 6. But when you pray, go into your inner room. I love the King James version of this. It says, go into your closet and pray. And Norbert, of course, has had three or four closets built into his house because he goes over into the new the King James version every once in a while, and he can be seen on any particular day hiding in a closet. And his wife's never been able to understand why that was. And, you know, there's some people that just take the Bible literally. Amen? Amen? All right, but that's okay because, you know, he's the man. And so we're just going to say that's right. That's all right. Is that right, Norman? Yeah. So it says, so the King James Version says, go into your closet and pray. But it's go into your inner room and pray. Go into private and pray. Close your door and pray to God the Father who is in secret, meaning who is not seen. And your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. Right? What does that say? It says prayer is a private talk between you and God. It's private. Now, verse 7, Matthew 6, 7, and when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition as Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. And this flashed me back to my days in Roman Catholicism, the 21 years I spent in Roman Catholicism. And we used to pray the rosary. And the rosary is a prayer set of prayer beads, and it has 10 Hail Marys, one Our Father. 10 Hail Marys, so I think it's 50 Hail Marys, and five Our Fathers, and then I think three Hail Marys as it goes down to the cross, and you say all kind of other things. And, you know, I learned it in Latin because I'm much faster in Latin than in English. So I would say, Ave Maria, gratia plena, dominus tecum, benedicta tuum mulieribus, benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis precatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostri, amen. That's one bead, not the second one. Ave Maria, gratia plena, dominus tecum, benedicta tuum mulieribus, benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis precatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostri, amen. Oh, you want it in English, Alani? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death, amen. All right, so 50, 10, then an Our Father, then 10 more, then an Our Father. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about, that's what God is talking about here when he talks about meaningless repetition. That is not how you would treat a friend. You would not talk at your friend. You would talk to your friend. And God expects us to talk to him, not at him, with meaningless repetition. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. So don't be like them. Don't be like the ones who use meaningless repetition. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Amen? Amen. You know, we always think he's confused. I don't know. I'm having some financial difficulties getting, down to the short stroke. I don't know. Where's that fine line between axing him and the selfishness that is inherent in that? Just ask him. Just ask him. He knows what you need before you ask. He just wants you to ask. When you ask God something in prayer, you might as well take a bulldozer and push down the Hoover Dam. Because when you do, a flood of blessings is going to come at you. You don't have to pay for blessings from God. You just have to ask him. Amen? That's the way we say it in the hood. White people say it like this. You just have to ask him. Amen? Dorothy, can I get an amen? That's right, sister. I'm just trying to have some fun up in here. I'm just trying to do a fundraiser right now. Yeah, that should be trademarked. I'm telling you. We need to trademark that. Elliot, take care of that. Trademark fundraiser with the government. Take out the D. Let's get a logo and stuff. So Matthew 6:8, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Pray then this way. Now, what follows in that chapter of Matthew is what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, and inaccurately so, because it is really the disciples' prayer, and it's not a prayer at all. It is actually instruction on all the elements that are part of prayer. It starts off, Our Father. What does that mean? All prayer goes to the Father. Hallowed be thy name. That means give him thanks. And so on. And it goes through that whole thing. It's not a prayer in itself. It is an instruction about the substance of prayers. And it's called the disciples' prayer. But there are many religions that use our Father as vain repetition. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. That's not talking to God. That's talking at God. That doesn't do anything for you. God's waiting for you to get to the good part. Ask me something. Tell me what you want. I already know, but tell me. Tell me and unleash the flood. Now, when you think about it, prayer really isn't communication in the true sense of that word any more than texting is communication. It is not. It is monologue. And prayer is monologue as well. It's not communication in the true sense of the word because communication is dialogue. Communication is two-way. Oh, yeah, but we do two-way when we're texting. I text them and they text me back. No, it's dual monologue. It's not dialogue. Prayer is not dialogue either. It's monologue. It's you asking God something. It's you sending a message to God. It is you moving a message in one way. Now, what happens? He receives the message. And the way we know he receives our prayers is that he answers them and we see the result of his work. If we're taking the time to notice, God wants to answer your prayers. Let me repeat that. God wants to answer your prayers. God waits on high to be compassionate toward you. God is waiting to bless you. God considers your problems to be his responsibility. Now, we hear these things every week. Now we know what it means. But does it sink in that if you want something, go ask your Father for it? And that's not what we do. And you know why we don't do it? Because we don't have a good relationship with our Father. And I can tell you the difference that I've seen as a father. I spanked my kids. I still do. Even now, they're grown men. They're starting to get that look in their face a little bit now. They're looking at me like, you know, I might want to hit you back, you old fart. You know, like they want to kick me or something. No, I don't spank them anymore, but I did. And what was really funny to me is the different reactions. One person would take the spanking, go away, curl up in the fetal position, cry, and never come and talk to me again. And one person went right into the fire after the spanking, went away, got mad, processed it, and then came right back into the fire and said, explain to me again what I did. Explain to me how to fix it. Explain to me, and built a relationship. And that's what people do when they're being successful. It's easy for all of us when we're doing something wrong, when we're doing something stupid, to run away from the pressure. Pressure is for our benefit. And we don't want any. We don't want pressure. We want to relax. We want to be in our comfort zone. Being in your comfort zone isn't going to help you grow. Why do you go to a personal trainer? Because they work you harder than you would work yourself. Why do you come here? Because you're not going to do this work on your own. And you'll never do it as intensely as you can do it in here. And if you do do it as intensely as you do it in here, you should be a pastor. Even if you're a female. Amen? I was joking. But seriously, you need the pressure. And great people go into the pressure. Great people go into the tribulation over and over and over again because they are being tested by fire. And when they go into a situation where pressure exists, they laugh at pressure. It's absolutely amazing to me to be on an airplane and to watch the briefings today, where the flight attendants are briefing people. And I almost pray sometimes that something would happen on the plane to teach all of the people who are running their mouths during the briefing and reading the newspaper during the briefing, to teach them a lesson. But I can't pray for that because inevitably there are more of them than there are people who are paying attention, and inevitably they will do something stupid. This U.S. Airways flight takes off from New York. The guy goes through about a gazillion geese. They jam up the engines. It's absolutely obvious to him that he is not going to be able to turn around and get back to the airfield. So he makes a nice little left turn out of LaGuardia and puts the plane down beautifully, picture-perfect landing, better than he has ever done in the simulator, right in the East River. And the plane is floating beautifully right on top of the water. And then what happens? Some idiot who wasn't listening to the briefing goes and opens the back door, and in comes the water to take the plane right down into the lake and into the river. Unbelievable. Happens all the time. So, I don't know why I was telling you that, but it's a great story, don't you think? So if you want something, why was I telling you that? Anybody remember? Yeah, pay attention. Listen. I don't know. I don't know why I was telling you. Why was I telling you that? Susie, why was I telling you that?
Because we don't listen. We don't communicate. We don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah, we need to listen. So anyway, I don't remember. Honestly, it'll come back to me. But God wants to answer your prayers. He wants to. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17, verse 1. So if God wants to answer our prayers and he's given us a method to talk to him, we need to begin that process of talking to him. But what do you say? You know, most of us don't fancy ourselves as articulate. So we always seem to think that we have to have some special words that we have to manufacture. But we don't. Prayer is quite informal, like you're talking to a buddy, sharing random thoughts. John chapter 17, verse 1. Last week, we took a look at the real Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ's private talk with his Father on the night before he would go to the cross. Hopefully this week you took some time to read John chapters 12 to 16 so that you could read yourself into the picture of what was going on in the prayer. Now, if you analyze this prayer, it has structure. But prayer doesn't have to be structured or analyzed or overthought. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out. And when you have a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with someone, it's a long conversation that always seems too short. And great prayers are exactly the same. You don't have to be perfect. God the Holy Spirit intercedes for you during your prayers with groanings that are too deep for words. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who sits at his right hand and who is always turning to God the Father and praying for you. And this morning, before you even got up out of bed, the Lord Jesus Christ was praying to his Father for you. For you to have everything you want. For you to have a magnificent life. For you to take the time to ask so that he could grant that which you want. And so this prayer has structure, and you can see the structure if you're looking at it. You can see that in verses 1 to 5, the Lord prays for himself. You can see that in verses 6 to 19, the Lord prays for his disciples. You can see in verses 20 to 26 that the Lord prays for future believers. Okay, big deal. Wow. Talk about that at a party. Yeah, John 17 has a structure. Oh, no, I don't think it's... I think he actually takes the self-prayer to verse 6. I don't think Pastor was exactly right in that regard. Big deal. Big deal. And this is what the commentators do. Big deal. But what's the substance of the prayer? What's going on in this prayer? And what can we learn from the substance that's going on in this prayer? That's the real question. John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these things that he spoke in the upper room discourse, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour we set together in eternity past has come. Glorify your Son, and that the Son may glorify you. Even as you, God the Father, gave me, the Lord Jesus Christ, authority over all flesh, over all humans, that to all whom you have given me, that I may give them the Zoe life. This is the Zoe life, the eternal life, that they may know you, God the Father, the only true God, and that they may know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you, God the Father, have sent. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, glorified you, God the Father, on the earth, having accomplished the work which you, God the Father, have given me, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I, the Lord Jesus Christ, had with you before the world even existed. Do you think that should have been a hint to folks? Jesus Christ says, everybody says about Jesus Christ that he's a man, and yet he said about himself, how many times, how many different ways could he say it? I and the Father are one, and we were together before the world even existed. That can only point to one thing, deity. And wouldn't it be fitting that we'd be here in John, whose whole gospel is about the deity of Christ? So we notice several things in the part of the prayer that is the prayer for self. Right away, we notice the reverence the Lord has for his Father. Let me turn to that just so I can have it at my eyeballs. John 17. So we notice the reverence that he has, lifting up his eyes, eye contacting his Father. Right away, we notice the Lord's focus, which is obedience to the Father. And that's the same thing for you. It's no different for you than it is for Christ. Christ was prototyping what you need to do. Lift up your eyes in reverence to your Father in prayer as you begin that conversation, knowing that you're talking to a superior being who is completely on your side. And I think that's the thing we miss, you know, in parent and child relationships. What does the Bible say? A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. I think when teenagers and their parents are interacting, there's always this negativity in it, as if the teenager somehow thinks that the parent isn't on their side. It's not that the parent's not on your side. It's that you don't want to hear what they have to say because you think you know it all, but you couldn't possibly know it all because you aren't paying rent. Amen? You couldn't possibly. Because if you know it all, get out and pay the mortgage. But it's time to listen. It's time for teenagers need to look at their parents with reverence. Why? Because that's the prototype. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He's infinitely superior to us. And he was looking at his Father with reverence. He was looking at his Father with reverence. This guy was about to send him to a cross for crucifixion. And what was his whole mindset toward his Father? What was his whole focus? Obey. That's the standard. That's the standard we live to as Christians. Obey. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, being found in appearance as a man, the Lord Jesus Christ humiliated himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Right away, we notice the Lord's relationship with the Father, because this whole prayer is an intimate conversation that we're privy to between the Lord and his Father. We notice the intimacy of the Son and the Father. And right away, we notice timing, a time for every purpose under heaven. John chapter 12, verse 23 says that Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. There's several places in the New Testament where the Lord said, it is not yet time. It is not my hour yet. And now he's saying the hour has come. And this is hours before he is to go to the cross, the most gruesome death in divine history. Right away, when we look at these first five verses, we notice that the Lord is on a mission. Take a 5-minute break and I'll tell you about the mission. Welcome back. The Lord's Prayer, John chapter 17, talks about his mission. His mission is to accomplish what the Father wanted him to do. I repeat that. The Lord Jesus Christ's mission was to accomplish what the Father wanted him to do. That's our mission as well, to accomplish what the Father wants us to do. So, the Lord, another component of his mission was to help the disciples, the technical students of God, to know the Father. One of the things a son does is help people know his Father, to help the disciples get to know him as well, to redeem all creatures. That was the Lord's mission, to redeem all creatures, angelic and human. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 19 say this: if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, and if you do that, you're a believer in Christ, conduct yourselves in respect during your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed, you were not purchased from the slavery of spiritual death, the condemnation of spiritual death, with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life that you inherited from your forefathers. You weren't bought with money. In the old days, if you wanted to buy a slave, you bought the slave with money. Perishable things like gold and silver from your futile way of life. That's what the way our life is described. 1 Peter 1:19 says, you were redeemed, you were purchased with precious blood. Blood from a lamb, unblemished and spotless. And who was the lamb? Christ. You were redeemed with the blood of Christ. The Lord's Prayer talks about his mission. The Lord's Prayer talks about his attitude toward his believers. And he says, I manifested your person to them, Father. I made you visible to them, Father. Why? Because he wants believers to know his Father. God the Father was always the member of the Trinity that I related to the least, because I did not grow up with a father. I didn't have any basis to understand how to interact with a man who was the head of the household. I oriented to women. And so when I went into corporate America for the first time, I had a really hard time orienting to my boss, who was male. I just didn't know how to do it. And so Jesus Christ wants us to know his invisible Father, wants us to understand his mind, and wants us to understand his approach to us. And his approach to us is, I have a plan for mankind. I have a plan for you personally. I love you unconditionally, and I'm going to treat you in grace. And I'm going to be the one who orchestrates for you. And before you were even created, I elected you to privilege, knowing that you would believe in my Son. And I put into place every resource you would ever need. We lack nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one shepherding us. We cannot lack anything. That's what Psalm 23 starts off with. We cannot lack anything. Ever. We have every resource we need. We may not have what we want. And I say thank God for that. Amen. Thank God we don't have what we want. We sure have everything we need. The Lord's Prayer talks about the Lord's glory. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, glorify you, Father, and you, Father, glorify me. The Lord's Prayer talks about the Lord's word. I gave them the words which you gave to me. Isn't that beautiful how a father passes on wisdom to a son, and a son passes on that exact wisdom to everyone he influences? Isn't that an amazing thing to watch? And it's criticized in this world. If a son does that in this world, oh, you don't have your own mind. Why is it criticized in this world? Because the kingdom of darkness wants disunity, that's why. If we listen to our parents, we're somehow deficient. If we're on the same page as husband and wife, we don't know how to stand up for ourselves. We're weak. It's a bunch of crap. There's nothing to be said for independence. You are independent. If you have to assert your independence, you don't understand independence. Everyone's independent. Dependence is the thing that you should be proudest of. When you depend on somebody. And the ability to work with somebody else as a team. Interdependence. That's what you should be proud of. Not independence. Satan proved how destructive independence can be. He was already independent. He had his own free will, and then he had to assert it. And ultimately, anytime anybody is claiming that they want equality, they don't. They want superiority. The Lord's Prayer makes a request. Glorify your Son. The Lord Jesus Christ asked the Father, glorify your Son. What was he asking for? He was saying, Father, sustain me in my suffering. Father, accept my sacrifice as satisfactory to you. Father, resurrect me from the dead. Father, restore me to the glory that I had before the foundation of the world. Before I chose to humiliate myself. I wonder how many of your prayers include those aspects. Father, sustain me in my suffering. How many times have you prayed that? Father, sustain me in my suffering. Father, resurrect me from the little deaths that I bring on myself. I was talking to a friend about finances recently. And evidently my friend has made some stupid decisions in the financial realm. And I said, big deal. The only issue is how big are the stupid decisions you've made. All of us have made stupid decisions. One of the things that I'm most impressed with is how many stupid decisions that I make that the Lord corrects. I go to my Father and I say, Father, I did it again. And I know this is the 90th time this year that I've done something stupid financially, and I just don't seem to be able to manage money. I seem to be always putting the money in the wrong place. Father, help me. And the money always comes. How often? Always. And, you know, there are a lot of us over the last few years that have looked right down the canon of starvation in the financial realm. And what happens when you do that? Angst. You get anxious. And what does our Lord say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, make your requests known to your God. And the God of peace that surpasses all comprehension will garrison your hearts and your minds, those of you who are in union with Christ Jesus. Whatsoever things are true, let your mind dwell on these things. And here's what's true. Ask him. Ask. 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 Yeah, but what's the fine line, Pastor? Like, how many times per se in a year can you like go to him asking? I mean, when does the burden fall back on you? Never. Never. Is that what he says? Anything you ask in prayer, just do it a couple times and then the burden falls back on you. Is that what the verse says? I think the verse says anything you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. I think that's what it says. And if you're receiving, Dorothy, you gonna make it over there? All right, cuz. She said, if not, take care. I love you, Dorothy. Now, the reason I was concerned is because I am convinced that my demise will be from choking to death. And so I have devised some very clever methods of realization when I'm choking to death. And one of them is that while I'm choking in my throat, I can breathe through my nose. So there have been a lot of times when I could not get the airway unobstructed, but I could still breathe through my nose. And the key then is just not to panic. And then whenever that happens, of course, you never want to tell people who are around you that you're choking to death, you know. Right, Mike? We were golfing, and I almost choked to death. And Mike was standing there just looking at me. And then he went over to the cart to get a pin. And I was like, Mike, I'm choking to death. Why did you go get the pen? I was just going to try to get you to sign your golf clubs over to me before you went. Like, all right, that's a great partner. I know, exactly. He was going to give me a trach. That's beautiful. Sometimes I feel I need that up here, so keep your pen handy. I wonder how many of your prayers include, sustain me in my suffering, accept my sacrifice, edify my work, give me wisdom, give me discernment, give me what I want. You know, that sounds downright selfish if we got a handful of gimmies and a mouthful of much obliged. But that's exactly what God expects us to do all the time. God, give me. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And he's so happy. He's so happy to give us. He loves that. Why? Because he's glorified in gimmeing to you. And you're going to be so mad when you get to heaven, when you find out that anything you would have asked, he would have given it to you. You're going to be so mad. But don't worry about it, because it'll be momentary, because he will wipe every tear from your eyes. And there'll be no more crying, no more mourning, no more pain. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. The Lord's Prayer makes a statement that the Son may glorify you. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Romans chapter 16, verse 21. To the only wise God, the Father, through Jesus Christ, be glory forever. The Son and believers in Christ glorify the Father by making him known in the whole world, proclaiming our faith throughout the whole world. The Lord's Prayer makes it clear that the Lord Jesus Christ has authority. It says, you granted him authority over all flesh. So what is the Lord's authority that was granted by God the Father? He has the authority to evaluate. The Lord Jesus Christ will be at the judgment seat of Christ for believers, and he will be at the great white throne judgment for unbelievers. I saw one sitting on a great white throne. He has the power, the authority to evaluate. He has the authority to take up his own life. Nobody killed Christ. The Jews are called a slang term, kikes. Have you ever heard that? Jews are called kikes, and it means Christ killers. They did not kill Christ. The Lord laid down his own life and then took it up again in resurrection. He has the authority to give the Zoe life, and he gives it to you in abundance. And the Lord's Prayer makes it clear what the Zoe life is, what the eternal life is. That is to know the one and only God, to live his Zoe life, to be in a deep, intimate, personal relationship with him. So continuing at John chapter 17, verse 6, I want you to look at and listen to the substance of the prayers that you see in the New Testament so that you can understand how to give your prayers substance, because our prayers, let's face it, always sound the same. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. No, prayers can have more substance than that. John 17:6. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have manifested, have made visible your name, God the Father, to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I, the Lord Jesus Christ, came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. John 17:9. The Lord Jesus Christ asks, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, ask you, Father, in prayer on their behalf. That's what he did for you this morning. That's what he's doing for you right now. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, ask you, Father, in prayer on their behalf, on the behalf of my believers. And I don't ask on behalf of the world, but I ask on behalf of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours. And all things that are yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. John 17:11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, and ask you to keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, unity, even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, so that the scripture would be fulfilled as we predicted. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be happy. Will you let him let you be happy? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 17:15. I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. You see, God expects us to stay under pressure. God does not expect us to gravitate like cowards to a comfort zone. He expects us to go into the fire, knowing with faith that he will deliver us out of every situation. And so we come to love pressure. That was probably why I was telling you the story. That is why I was telling you the story about the airplane. Because the people who aren't paying attention when the directions are being given are always the ones who panic first and do something stupid, like the guy who went back and opened the door. They faint in their souls under the pressure. You put yourself under constant pressure, and you get under people who can pressure you so that you can stand firm and resist the schemes of the devil in the evil day. So you can handle the pressure under pressure. In basketball, there are 2 minutes that decide every basketball game. And the question is this: if you're a basketball player, will you show up in that critical 2 minutes? 2 minutes that decide every football game. 2 minutes that decide every hockey game. Ask the Boston Bruins last year in the Stanley Cup. They were up, what, 2-1. With maybe 3 minutes to go, and with 57 seconds to go, they were down 3-2. Took 1 minute and 17 seconds to put them to send them home and to get them on the golf course. How were they under that minute and 17 of pressure? They fainted in their soul. They stopped paying attention. And they snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. John 17:16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. What a prayer this is. John 17:17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. How many times has that been in one of your prayers? Almighty Father, set me apart into the truth. Your word is truth. Help me understand what that pastor is saying up there. Set me apart into that truth. John 17:18. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For what? Pressure. John 17:19. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I sanctify myself because they're in union with me. And because they're in union with me, whatever I get, they get. So I sanctify myself so they can be sanctified. Amen? Amen. You have an unbreakable relationship with the sovereign of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 17:20. He turns his focus to his church, the body of Christ. I don't ask in prayer on behalf of the apostles alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, unity, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one in unity, just as we are one. I indwelling them and you indwelling me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. And how is that? Unconditionally. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me even before the foundation of the world. How romantic this conversation is from a son to his father. O righteous Father, look at the reverence in John 17:25, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the unconditional love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I, the Lord Jesus Christ, indwelling them. What a wonderful, substantive, long, beautiful, amazing prayer. The standard for praying with substance that our Lord has given us in tribute to his Father. Let us strive to emulate the substance of our interactions with our Heavenly Father in prayer, just as we've been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. Closing song, the Word is alive.
Earth before it returns.
Confident of this very thing, that God the Father, who began a good work in you, will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus. So don't fret because of evildoers, and don't be envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison your hearts and your minds for those of you in union with Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thanks for sending your Son to be such a great example to us about what it means to be a Christian, about what it means to have a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with you. And I pray that you protect us and keep us as you promised, and that you direct our minds to the areas that we need to garrison, to those areas where we need your all-sufficient help, so that we can stand without fainting in our souls when we are under pressure. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.